Good morning. I'm turned down, turned off. Good morning. There we go. Thank you all very much for being here this morning. Thank you, Brother Brad, for those songs, Brother DC for that scripture, Brother Adam for reading God's holy word. And for you that think, he's going to be preaching on giving today, well, yes, but not just that. Looking at God's holy word this morning, and something that transpired in the last week reminded me of this passage, "Will a man rob God?" And so I read the book of Malachi multiple times this week and this morning. This is the last book that we have recorded in progression until the New Testament began. And the preface in my Bible says, "Malachi, a prophet in the days of Nehemiah, directs his message of judgment to a people plagued with corrupt priests, wicked practices, and a false sense of security in their privileged relationship with God. Using the question and answer method, Malachi probes deeply into their problems of hypocrisy, infidelity, mixed marriages, divorce, false worship, and arrogance. So sinful has the nation become that God's words to the people are no longer have any impact. For 400 years after Malachi's ringing condemnation, God remains silent, only with the coming of John the Baptist. And again, God communicates to his people through a prophet's voice." I'd like for us to consider our hearts and minds this morning as we look at God's holy words about robbing God and what he says robs God. Malachi chapter 1, the first chapter, really talks about condemning the leadership of the priests. Malachi 1:6, it is written, "A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where's my honor?" God says. "And if I am a master, where's my reverence?" God says. Says the Lord of hosts, "To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, and what have we despised your name?" God goes on to continue to say, "You have robbed me by not giving your best and not leading the people." Now, I say this morning, it is written in the New Testament that we are all priests and we are all kings and we are all saints. So does God ask us, where's my honor this morning? Where's my reverence? Have you put me first? Do you give me your best? Have you opened your heart to me? Are you robbing God? Are you keeping money for yourself? Are you keeping your time for yourself? Are you keeping the best things? Because God goes on in Malachi 1 and says, you don't give the best and the first. You give that which is blemished. You give me the leftovers. And God said, you're robbing me. How many of us have ever been robbed before? You had something stolen from you? God says, where's my honor? Where's my reverence? Folks, our society does the same thing. They rob God of his honor and his reverence. And there's people that proclaim to be his children. This is written to God's people, not heathens of the world. But there are people that don't gather on the first day of the week. They change a different day. because they're too busy on the first day of the week. They don't follow the doctrine and commandments of Jesus and the disciples. There's folks that only partake the Lord's Supper a couple times a year or during a quarter or certain times instead of every first day of the week, as was practiced by the disciples. I ask us, are they robbing God by not following Him? So that's what the priests were doing. They were still going through the motions. They were still godly people, but their heart was far from Him. They changed just enough to make themselves feel self-righteous instead of humbling their hearts before God. And I plead with us not to do that. I plead with us as His children not to do that. To learn from these lessons we're looking at this morning. Malachi 2, it is written in chapter 2 and verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers? Verses 16 and 17. For the Lord God of Israel says that He hates divorce, for it covers one garment with violence, one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, and what have we wearied Him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and He delights in them. Or where is the God of justice? Folks, people say the same thing today. Whole second chapter is about adultery. And putting away your wife. And not loving one another like you're supposed to. And it even says in there, because the whole purpose is to continue good people. It says, how do you continue with good people when you marry and divorce and you can't get along with one person? What kind of example is that? God hates divorce, it is written. Are you robbing God with your thoughts that it's okay to put away your wife or your husband? And it's okay for your kids to do that and your family members? It is not. God hates it. We are stuck with it sometimes. Because people fall away from God and turn away from Him. Good families, good people have their lives destroyed by one person deciding to turn to sin. But don't say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord and delights in Him, like these people did. It is still sin, folks. It is still sinful. And yeah, those people can repent. But it's still sinful. And it still hurts. And it still destroys families and lives and relationships. And they rob God. Because that's not what we're supposed to be living. We're supposed to be living good and righteous and happy lives. So when we are tempted, God's going to tempt. If God hasn't tempted us yet, I'm not God. If Satan hasn't tempted us yet, we will be tempted. We will be tempted. I'm tired of him. I'm tired of her. You know, I like a song, and maybe I shouldn't like it, but you know, Better Man by Eddie Vedder. She's just going along with it because you can't find a better man. And some men say the same thing. I'm just going along with it because I can't find a better woman. And that type of attitude leads people to sin. So even after people say, well, you know what? All these divorces, all these people not following God, gee whiz, but I love them, and God's a loving God, and God's going to accept that, and that'll be okay. So we accept sin, and that's what this is saying. You rob God when you accept sin and you tell people that they're saved anyways, when they're disobedient to God. They're not, folks. They're not. It's evil, it's sinful, they will not live forever. Don't be conned by this world that everybody's going to heaven. And then they say, where's the God of justice? He's a God of love. Everybody gets to go. God says that's not true. The justice in me says, if you're right, if you're obedient, if your heart's right. Jesus wouldn't have had to come again if people lived right. But at the beginning of time, God knew people weren't going to live right. I've given you a beautiful earth. I've given you all things. But I got a plan, and I'm going to send a Savior. Will a man rob God? Folks, one of the biggest things of our society is accepting this type of behavior. The whole chapter, first chapter is on people giving God not their best, priests. The second chapter is on divorce. Damaged relationships. People not following God. Third chapter. It is written after our passage, will a man rob God? And then it says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, this is what they said. Okay? After he tells them, you're not giving me my best, you're marrying and divorcing, and you're having relationships with people that aren't godly. He says, will you rob me? You guys are robbing me. And this is the passage after that. And then it says, this is what the people say. Is it useless to serve God? What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. In our society, folks, this is happening today, just like it happened back then. Just like it happened back then. None of this is new. Your words have been harsh against me. What kind of words? What kind of words? It doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to be saved. What kind of words? It's okay if you're living in sin. Homosexuality is a sin, folks. Adultery is a sin, folks. Fornication is a sin, folks. Robbery is a sin. Not giving your best to God is a sin. But you still walk around like you're doing. You're somebody. Sleeping with my neighbor's wife and I'm still somebody. I'm sleeping with my neighbor's husband. I'm still somebody. It doesn't matter. No shame. No humbleness. You rob God. They are robbing God. And when you hold them up and you accept them, you are robbing God. They even tempt God and go free. I got money. I got a good job. I'm living in sin. It also is written, it rains on the just and the unjust. God gives to all freely. But on that day of judgment, it's going to be different. On that day of judgment, you're either welcome into my fold, or I never knew you. Will we rob God? Will a man rob God? You may think you're free. You may think it's okay. You may think you can get away with it. Or the world may think they can get away with it, but they won't. God knows. God knows. And he says you won't get away with it. Same thing happened back then as happened today. In Malachi 4, it is written, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, and shall go out, and you shall go out, and grow fat like stall-fed calves." Stall-fed calves. You telling me they didn't have, we just had veal? They had veal back then? Folks, God said, here's the coming of the age. Here's what's going to change. You people, you've robbed me. I've given you time and time and time and time again. Why do you think God brought the flood on the earth? People were robbing God, disrespecting God, not giving them their best, full of sin, full of evil. Same thing's happening now, hundreds and hundreds of years later, after Noah. And he says, I'm going to burn them all up like heaven. Now, basically, what happens when you burn everything up in the oven? Figuratively, it's gone. There's nothing you can be, it's gone. Okay? That's the temples and all of that transpired at that time are gone. There's people that still practice some of that stuff. Some, not all. They don't keep all the festivals and all the moons, and they don't have altars and all that kind of stuff. It's done. Because when Jesus came, the Son of the Righteous, okay? We should be able to be full of goodness, full of love, full of mercy, full of truth. We should not rob God. If we're following Jesus, we won't be robbing God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, it is written, when the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he needed not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the command of God no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah say, prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines and commandments of men. Brothers and sisters and friends, if you read the Old Testament, God hates a lot of things and was not permissible amongst his people. And when they did these heinous things, they were put to death. And Jesus quotes this passage right here, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses his father and mother, let him be put to death. So when somebody does something so mean and so hateful that they deserve punishment. Just give me some money and I'll get away with it. In a nutshell, that's what's happening. You ever seen that done today in our world? Why, certainly. Just give me some money. I'll buy my way out of the jail. Let me do a little community service and give you some money. Or give some money to this or give some money to that. Hypocrites. Don't rob God. Their heart is far from Him. From Him. Let us not be caught in the same web of deceit. I can do a little bit of this to make up for it, it'll be okay. I can do a little bit of this and make up for it, it'll be okay. Don't rob God. That's where people's hearts start to get hardened. I'll miss a little bit of service. I'll make up for it over here. God will understand. I won't study my Bible. God will understand. I won't read His Word that is all powerful and has a way to open and soften my heart. God will understand. Don't rob God. I plead with us. We are tempted just as much to rob God today as they were back then. We need to recognize the things and when we're tempted with them. I was talking to somebody this week about it, about, you know, how many times in the last week did you say, "Satan, get behind me"? And if you didn't, are you robbing God? Or are you so busy in this life that you didn't take time out to look at the heavenly realm and look at your spiritual side to say, "Satan, get behind me"? Will a man rob God? Continuing, Jesus says, when He had called the multitudes to Himself, He said to them, "Hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man." Then His disciples came to Him and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But He answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall in a ditch." And Peter answered and said to Him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes in the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Will a man rob God? I ask us this morning. Is it robbing God when you're so worried about when other people are offended because you tell them the truth? Like the Pharisees. The disciples said, "Whoa, no, you can't say that, Jesus. Do you know how mad they got about that?" That's why I'm talking to you this morning. Instead of on a street corner, or in the middle of a protest telling them to repent, or in the middle of a parade telling them to repent, let them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. They'll both fall into the ditch. Don't rob God by being a participant in evil and in sinful behavior. No matter how much they preach love. Okay, it's sin. And in our culture, we're going to make everything so good because we're going to exercise, we're going to eat right, we're going to take vitamins. You think Jesus ever took any vitamins? Did He take any Aleve, Advil? I don't know. I'm just saying, you know. They may have had herbs or something back then, okay, and they may have had different ways of treating stuff. They had physicians, but Jesus says, pay more attention to your heart, your spirit, than your flesh. Don't rob God. And this is the temple of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. We need to cherish it and relish it and be thankful for it. Don't get me wrong. We should not disrespect it. But it should not have a preeminence over our heart. Once again, I'm fit as a fiddle, but I'm sleeping with my neighbor's wife. I'm fit as a fiddle, but I'm sleeping with another man. I'm fit as a fiddle. Look at me. But my heart's not right. Your heart is full of sin and full of destruction. And let us not please fall into that same trap, folks. And let us remember these words of Jesus. What defiles a man? And the words of Jesus when he says, let them alone. Sometimes it's just not worth the time and energy. They're lost. I know that's tough to say, folks. That's one of the hard. Jesus knew that when he was here. He said this. These are God's people, he says this about. This is the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jewish people. You think that hurt him to say, just let them alone? We're not going to have a war against them. We're not going to have flags that say Pharisees are bad. We're not going to have a new flag to say we're right and you're wrong. He said, let them alone. Follow me. Don't follow them when they say, you got to follow everything we tell you to do and your heart's not right. Follow me and make your heart right and all those other things will fall into place. And I'll close with our passage that we read this morning. It's unique that he says John the Baptist was like a refiner's fire and like launder soap. You ever tried to wash something without soap? Ever anybody run a load of wash before and forgot to put soap in? Somebody might have. If I go out in the shop and work on something for my wife to make her happy, we'll just have a good story, you know. Whatever it is. I just change the oil in my wife's vehicle. My hands are all dirty. I just use some water, no soap. And I keep using the water, no soap. But I'm washing. It's the same thing with God's word if we don't read it and absorb it and apply it to our lives. We're trying to wash our hearts and open our hearts before God without having his word work in our hearts. It's like washing your heart without the word of God. You can't do it. You can't change your heart without reading God's word, without absorbing it, without meditating on it, to study and to show yourself approved. It's also written in our passage this morning, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Folks, that word change is a crazy word in our lives. It is in my life. Some things I don't want to change. Some things will change. Some things God has made to change, but his word, his truths, his righteousness, what is right and wrong has not changed. Will a man rob God? In tithes and offerings. Okay? Well, how are we robbing you, God? You don't give me back what you're supposed to. So I asked us this morning, how much are you giving God? Are you robbing God? Money? Time? Resources? Opening your heart up to Him? More importantly than all those things, He wants your heart. Are you in God's Word and reading it so it's continually working on your heart? God says, try me now. Try me now in this. And I plead with us this morning to try God. Try His ways. Recognize what is evil and what is sinful, and make sure that we don't end up robbing God of the things He wants us to give Him. If you have a need for any reason this morning, for anything that we can help with, we're here, we love you. If you haven't given your life to Christ, we plead with you to do that this morning as we stand and sing the selected song.